thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
So in January, we take the opportunity to kind of explore a few current themes. And we're in a series called Jesus and the Sydney Morning Herald. And tonight, I will be exploring the theme of hope. But would you join with me as I pray before I get stuck in? Father God, we thank you that you invite us into life with you. And I pray this evening as we engage with you, as we listen to you, Father, that you might shape us and transform us, that you might soften our hearts and our minds to hear from you. Father, I pray we'll be challenged and renewed and energized for this year ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the new year often brings with it this theme of new hope. And when we look at the newspapers and we read the news, however you read the news, stories of woe and disaster and kind of pain and suffering in our world get punctuated with these stories of hope. And we see a few themes emerge in the context of our news feed. Society is longing to know who they can put their hope in. They want to be confident in the sources of their hope, to know their credibility. And journalist Jessica Irvin turns to economists, because they've been super reliable, for help with keeping New Year's resolutions. She was investigating how we can more effectively carry on with our New Year's resolutions all the way through the rest of the year. And New Year's resolutions are an opportunity for us to kind of get settled into patterns of change. There are hopes about the change in our lives over the course of the year. Now, as she did her investigation and with her chats with economists, she concluded that the best way to stick to New Year's resolutions is to increase the cost of failing to do so. And there are now websites like stick.com where you can set up at the beginning of the year almost like a personal fine system, so that when you fail to keep your New Year's resolution, you will automatically donate to causes that you hate. Sounds like an excellent plan. People also are looking for a hope for the future. Off the back of this kind of successful reboot of Star Wars, a new and exciting possibility began to emerge in the newspapers this week. And apparently, I am pleased to announce that a new Indiana Jones film is on the cards. Now, you may have mixed feelings about that based upon watching the last one. But for many of us, we are hoping to relive our childhoods again as we watch Indiana Jones rescue some ancient artifact. People also want a hope that will transform their today. And when we read the news, we see countless stories of refugees who, with a hope for a better future for them and for their families, embark on extraordinary journeys today, often very life-threatening journeys across oceans, across lands, across war-torn areas, with a hope for a better future. And this hope for a better future transforms their today. But hope is sometimes disappointing. I mean, sometimes our expectations and our hopes aren't met. There's a lot of pressure on New Year's Eve, for example. There's a lot of pressure that this will be the best party of the year. And anyone who hears about your New Year's Eve celebration will be just dying inside that they weren't there. But comedian John Oliver compares New Year's Eve to the death of a pet. You know that eventually it's going to happen, but somehow you're never prepared for how awful it actually is. Hope seems to let us down. Hope is sometimes very hollow. Sometimes hope is rather disappointing, like it was for this young man on Christmas Day. Scott Lundy was hoping upon hope for a PlayStation for Christmas. And as he furiously tears off the paper and opens the box on Christmas Day, somewhere in the supply chain of this PlayStation, it has been replaced with a block of wood. Scott Lundy did not receive a PlayStation for Christmas. All of his hopes were dashed. Sometimes hope is disappointing. But I believe that going deeper with Jesus by the power of the Spirit changes our hope. It changes the way that we live. It transforms our living. And I want us to sit with that question just for a moment. Where is our hope found right now? Like, what are we hoping in right now? Is our hope firmly and deeply rooted in God? Are we thinking that's where our hope is for this new year? Genuinely, is that where you're at right now? Or are you hoping, you're placing your hope in family, or in your friendships, or in your skills, or in your position at work, opportunities that are coming up? Are you hoping that you'll keep your New Year's resolutions? Are you hoping that the new Indiana Jones film will be any good? Are you, along with refugees, hoping that the world will be a better place? Our hope has to be in something more. It has to be in something greater. It has to be in something that will never fail, that will never falter. We have to place our hope in God for it to become a transformative part of our lives, for it to change and shape our existence. And in perhaps a rather unsurprising twist for a sermon, I believe that the Bible has got something to say about it. When we have a look at Ephesians 1, and particularly looking at verses 17 to 19, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, Paul is writing here to a community of faith. This is a community of people who have already made a decision for Jesus. They are a community that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Paul is writing to Christians. He is writing to people like you and us, those who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and said, I want to live life with you at the head of it. And I think when we look at this message, it kind of distills down into this one central theme that hope is found in knowing God, and it transforms our future, but it also transforms our today. It transforms our present. Now, this is not just head knowledge. This is not just knowing God to pack facts into our heads so that when we're at the next dinner party, we can sound intellectually great. This is life-transforming knowledge. This is relational engagement with God. This is an understanding of who it is that calls us into life. This is an amazing thing that we are invited into. And there are three truths in this passage that I'd really love to kind of help tease out from it as we look at it tonight. And I believe that these are truths that aren't hollow. These are truths that are not disappointing. And in fact, that these are truths that our world needs to hear. This is what people are craving. These are why these stories of hope emerge in our newspapers. I believe that our hope is only sustained when we know that it is God who we are hoping in. I believe that our hope is only sustained when we have a hope for the future. And I believe that our hope is sustained when that hope changes our today. So let's take a little look deeper into this. Hope is sustained when we know that it is God who we are hoping in. We are invited to pray, to ask God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We are invited to ask God for his spirit to be at work in us that we might get to know God better. I mean, this is a beautiful invitation. God doesn't just say, yeah, come and be in relationship with me and give us no means of actually getting there. He gives us the Holy Spirit. When we have welcomed Jesus as Lord and Savior in our lives, we are inviting the Spirit to reside within us. And that shapes the way that we think about things. That shapes the way that we engage with God, the way that we interact with him, understand him, learn more about him. And we are also invited and given the gift of the Bible. We're given the gift of prayer, an opportunity to converse with God. And we are placed here in a community that reflects Jesus. We are amongst people who shine Jesus in our face every time that we talk to them. This is a beautiful way of getting to know more of who God is. Now, you may have heard these things before if you've ever been in any other church and listened to any sermons. It's not new and it's not improved. We learn more about who God is by reading about him. We learn more about who God is by praying to and with him, recognizing that we're invited into a conversation with God. And we learn more about who God is by seeing his work in the lives of those that we live amongst and that we journey alongside. If you've ever been snorkeling without a mask on, you will know that it is difficult to see underwater. It's murky, and you can maybe just about make out the shape of your hand and some rocks and maybe some terrifying shapes over here that you'd really rather not know too much about. But when you put on a diving mask, suddenly this underwater world becomes crystal clear. And you can see rocks and tiny tropical fish, and more clearly those things that you wish weren't there. But you can't see the expanse. You can't see the edge of the ocean. You just know that it's going out there for a long way. Now, tourists on the Great Barrier Reef are kind of world-renowned for fainting when they put on one of these diving masks for the first time and they go and have a look at the barrier reef because they are overwhelmed by what they can see. They can't see the edges and they are freaked out by this vast expanse that before was kind of murky and now is crystal clear. They are small in this large ocean. And sometimes the inclination, when faced with this new kind of clarity and this awareness that this is beyond our understanding, this ocean is beyond our comprehension, the desire is to take the mask off and to just carry on blissfully ignorant in our murky waters. And in this illustration, the diving mask is prayer. Is reading our Bible, is spending time with other Christians. We are invited to discover more of who God is, to gain clarity on parts of who he is. We are not going to know the expanse of the ocean, but we are invited to discover more of who he is. He has blessed us with this. He desires this relational engagement with us. And this is a beautiful thing. And I think if we dwell on this, this transforms our reality. This shapes how we live. This changes everything. May I encourage you not to be freaked out by this opportunity to get to know God, our Savior. Don't take off the mask. Maybe it's time to choose to put that back on. Hope is sustained when we know the end of our hope. When we know God, when we've spent time getting to know the bits of Him that we can get to know, then we have a hope for the future because we know that He is calling us towards heaven. He has set eternity in the hearts of humanity. He is calling us to heaven, to our place of eternal glory. This is part of the glorious inheritance that Paul writes about in this passage in Ephesians. This is part of what we are being called to. Now, I don't know if you have ever watched a movie and got to the end of that movie and breathed a deep sigh of relief because you've realized that for 120 minutes you have been holding your breath. You have been on the edge of your seats. My wife and I watched a film like that recently. But when you watch that film for a second time, then you are more able to cope with the twists and turns in the plot. You are able to cope with the trauma of some of the things that happen in that movie because you have a hope for the end of it. You know that this turns out well. You know that this character turns out better, that his life changes, that things are different in the end, that there's a happy ending, that they lived happily ever after. We are less anxious when we know our future hope, when we know where we are going. And heaven is this. Heaven is the end of the movie of our lives. This is where we're being called to. Now, I wonder if you spent any time reflecting on heaven. I realized this week that I don't really think about that very much. And we don't have a great deal of information about heaven in the Bible. There's not heaps written in there. There are allusions and we get a general understanding of it, but we don't exactly know what it's going to look like. But this is the place where striving ceases. This is the place where joy is complete. This is the place where we are invited into the fullness of life with God. This is the place where we are full of praise, where relationships that were once were broken are mended, are healed, are restored, life transformed. This is the place I want to be. This is the place that we are called to. Now, this illustration of the movie breaks down a bit, as all good illustrations do, because we don't know the end of the movie of our lives. None of us have been there. None of us have seen that. But because we know God, because we have learnt to trust Him, because what He has said is true in His word, then we can trust what He is calling us towards. Because God is trustworthy, we can trust in the hope of heaven for our futures. Heaven is our home. Heaven is where God is calling us. Michael Pascoe in the Sydney Morning Herald writes, "We are hardwired to want to know the future. That explains astrology, tea leaf readers, religion, and the welter of economic and market forecasts at this time of year." And he is partly right. We are designed to know, to want to know where we're going. We are designed to hope for the future. God has set eternity in the hearts of men. We are called to press on towards the prize of heaven. We are designed to hope for the future. We are designed to hope for this time, this eternal glory, this dance, this relationship with God in all its fullness. Thirdly, hope is sustained when that hope changes our today. God has given us a power for today. Have you reflected on that? That God has given you and me a power for today. And this power is unmatched by anything in this world. Let's take a look at verse 19. and his incomparably great power for us who believe. This power that is being spoken about in this passage is the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. The power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. This is an extraordinary power. The power to raise someone from the dead is right up there on my list of extraordinarily powerful things. Up there with moving mountains. This is amazing. And this same power is given to us, not that we would wield it for our own ends, not that we would use it to control or manipulate, but that we would carry out the purposes of God on earth. We are given this power and invited into the work of God. How amazing is that? Peter Parker was a weedy kid. But his life was transformed when he was bitten by a radioactive spider. And he began to investigate his powers, and he discovered that he could shoot webs out of his wrist, and that he could swing between buildings, and that he could climb up walls. And as he explored his power, as he grew in an awareness of who he is, who he had now been made to be, he became Spider-Man. And we are all Spider-Men. No. We have been given a power far greater than the mythical bite of a radioactive spider. We have been given the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. We have been given the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. This shapes the way that we interact in this world. This shapes what we are afraid of. This shapes what we hope for. This transforms our living. My sister-in-law loves to pray for people. And last year, at my wedding rehearsal for the wedding I had with my wife, January the 10th last year, after our wedding rehearsal, my sister-in-law went outside the church, and sitting on the steps of the church where we had our rehearsal was this man who looked like he was in a great deal of pain, a great deal of distress. And he was sitting there on his own, wrapped in a sleeping bag, in pain, with his eyes kind of shut. And we went and spoke to him, and she knelt down beside him and said to this man, "How are you going?" And he said, I'm not great. My hand is really sore." And he had a bandage around his hand, and his hand had been sprained. I don't know the details of that. And my sister-in-law sat down and very kind of undramatically just began to pray for him and prayed for his hand. And about 2 minutes after she'd prayed, this man, his eyes opened and the look upon his face changed. And he said, "My hand doesn't hurt anymore. How did you do that?" Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory. This is the power of God at work in his people to transform this world. To transform not only the hope for us, but the hope for others, that they might recognize that hope is only securely found in our God and Father. When we start exploring the power of God at work within our lives, for some of us, that may be the courage to respond to the question when we are at work on Monday morning, that where someone asks us, "So what did you do at the weekend?" "Well, I went to church, and we looked at this theme of hope, and this hope actually changes the way that I live. And like, I'd really like to talk to you about that. I'd like to share that with you, because that's actually transforming the way that I interact in the world. This is transforming the way that I live, and I'd love just to share that with you." Sometimes the power of God at work within us is the courage to speak up about what God is doing within us. to invite him into our conversations and to share this hope with others. God has called us to a hope for the future, but he has called us to a hope right now, right here in the present, to recognize that he has invested in us a power that transforms hope, not just for us, but for others. The director of a medical clinic tells the story of a terminally ill young man who came into the clinic and he saw a new doctor this time. And this new doctor, rather callously, says to this terminally ill young man, "You do know that you're not going to live out the year." And this young man is broken by that and he leaves the medical clinic. And on his way out, his eyes filled with tears, he's weeping. He meets the director of the clinic again. And he says to the director, "That man stole my hope." And the director of the medical clinic says to him, "Perhaps it's time to find a new hope." Is there hope when hope disappoints us? Is it time for us to find a new hope? Is there truly a hope that isn't hollow, that we're not going to open up and discover is actually only a block of wood? The gripping truth within this message to the Ephesians, I believe, is yes. Yes, we have a hope that is secure, a hope that is secure for all eternity, that transforms our future, that changes our present, and is a hope that we are invited to share with the world, to recognize that God has given us a power that we might share it with other people. We're invited to find our hope in the only place that is secure. We're invited to get to know God, to hope in him, by his Spirit, to ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might understand more of who he is. Sometimes when we read our Bibles, it's really hard. I have struggled with that. I went to Bible college, and sometimes I have no idea what it's talking about. But when we invite God into that time, when we invite God to shape our thinking, to reveal to us what he is saying in the words on these pages, then we are opening our lives to be transformed by him. This year, maybe you need to re-engage with the Word of God. Maybe this year is the year that you download the Bible in a Year app for your smartphone, and you engage with that daily, and then you don't beat yourself up when you miss a day, you just carry on. And you learn more about God. Maybe this is the year that you join a prayer triplet. Maybe this is the year that you actually go along to the life group that you said you're going to be a part of. That you say, "I need to be there. I need to be there because my investment in this, my seeking to find out more about who God is, to find my hope in him, to open myself to be transformed by him, is what we need to commit to. And we need to commit to that with others. We are invited to know the end of our hope. Maybe God is simply inviting you this evening just to reflect a little bit more on heaven, and not to get caught up there forevermore and not think about where you are right now, but to know this hope to which you are being called. To dwell on that, to reflect life, relationship, fullness, glory with God. And we are invited to experience and engage with the transforming power of God in our lives, a power that transforms our present reality, a hope in him that transforms how we live our day to day. We are invited to know the resourcing of our God. We've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks, if you've been here. The resourcing of God, that we might live a life from a place of abundance and not of deficit. Maybe we are called to step out in faith, to pray for other people, to share with other people the story of what is transforming our hope, to see his gifts at work in our lives, and to have our hope transformed. I invite you to join me in seeking to get to know God better this year, that we might know this hope that transforms our future and changes our present. We're going to do something slightly different now, and I will do my best to make that as unintimidating as possible. But I'm going to invite you to stand with me now, if you would do that. That would be great. And Steph and Java are going to play some music now. And I just want us to take a moment, if this is resonating with you, and I invite you into this. We're not coaxing you into doing anything you don't want to. This is a genuine invitation. But I wonder if it's helpful for us right now to take a moment to pray and to reflect on the things that we are hoping for this year. The areas where we need to invite God in to transform our hope. So would you pray with me now? In the stillness and in the quiet of this moment, and some of us may have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I invite you to make a courageous gesture. And if you want to invite the hope of God into your life, that it would transform your living, and you may have a particular thing in mind right now, I invite you just to simply raise a hand. No one's going to watch you doing that. But that just lets me know that you're out there. Thank you. If there's something in your life that you want to invite God to transform your hope in, then raise your hand. And I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. And I'm going to invite God by his Spirit to speak to us, to speak to you in a language that you understand, and allow God to do his work of transforming our hope. So here I go. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Father, thank you for those who stand here placing their faith and their hope in you with their arms raised in the air. Father, we join together and we invite you by your Spirit to transform our hope. Father, I pray that in a new way, perhaps a way that we have never been spoken to or understood you, that you would meet us right now by your Spirit and transform our hope. Father, thank you. Thank you that this is a good work that you seek to do, that you desire to do in our lives, that you have promised in Scripture. Father, thank you.